Thank you. I want to turn to central to our message today is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. But I'm going to turn to other scriptures as well. What we discover about life is that one of the biggest causes of issues with many people today is anxiety or worry. And it is something for which the scripture gives us some guidance. If you say that you never worry, I don't believe you. If you say you're never anxious, I don't believe you. I think it's a fact that each one of us experiences it sometime or other. Sometimes it's more difficult to deal with. And I have to say, I'm not one of those people who believes that that medication is not sometimes an answer, because God has given the ability for scientists to discover things that can help us, and our bodies sometimes have a chemical imbalance and that needs to be rectified. So I'm not one who simply believes that it's just we have to learn not to worry. Sometimes we need to seek advice and help, medical help. So I want you to understand that. So when I heard the message, don't worry, I want us to look at what the scriptures teach us about that. But I want us to understand that it needs to come from a place where we have comfort. There are so many different things that cause us anxiety. So many in 2017, there are so many concerns that we can have. We have so much information bombarding us that we come to a stage of what is healthy food today? And people get hung up about that. What is healthy and what is not healthy? We are told sometimes that coffee is good for us. And other times, it's not. So who do we listen to? Well, I'm not going to go into that kind of issue today. But I want us to come to a place where each of us can hear the words of Jesus to us, saying, don't worry. I'll read his words later. But I want to turn to Philippians chapter 4. And Paul is in prison when he's writing this letter. And at this stage in the letter, he comes to those he's writing to. And he says this: rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. He's coming from a place of imprisonment. And here he is writing to those at Philippi, it was where he was imprisoned, remember? It was where the jailer came to faith, where God shook that place. Remember what he and Silas were doing in that prison, in that innermost part of the prison, where he was singing praise to God. So he was rejoicing in his suffering. And so here he is writing to the church at Philippi and writing to us and saying, rejoice in the Lord. We have so much to rejoice about, that we have a relationship with God through Jesus. So he had to repeat it again, rejoice. Oh, it's not always easy to rejoice. It's not always easy to come to that place, because we all go through dark times, and those dark moments we're in no place to rejoice. But we are encouraged to rejoice in the Lord always. He then goes on to say, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. So in other words, he's saying, rejoice in the Lord. Remember, he is near. Remember, he is here with you. He has come. He comes to us. And when we open our hearts to him, he seals us with his Holy Spirit. We belong. We don't fully understand what a seal is, but a stamp of belonging. We belong to him, and he is close to us. He's not away from us. And then he goes on. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then I want to turn to the words of Jesus that we find in Matthew's Gospel. And if we listen to the words of Paul who had come, he describes himself as one who was, he came to faith. He didn't meet Jesus during his earthly life, but he met Jesus after he had ascended, and on that road to Damascus, he was confronted with the one who he is persecuting. He's persecuting the church, and therefore persecuting Jesus. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, and verse, let me read verse 24 first. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So Jesus is saying you have to make a choice. Who are you going to serve? And mammon is everything. Or are we going to serve God? The God who provides everything. And therefore he says, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, or you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So when Jesus is telling people not to worry, he is saying, you can have a relationship with my Father. And if you have that relationship with my Father and you seek his will, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things.
sufficient a day its own trouble. So here is Jesus reminding his hearers, yes, what is your priority? Are you going to continue to worry? He talks about clothing, he talks about food, he talks about the things that are important for us to live. But he's saying, you know what? You need first of all to put your faith in God. You need first of all to trust God. To know that he knows you. That he loves you. God allows us to go through different situations to teach us lessons. And so we need to hear those words of Jesus. Don't worry. What should we do? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, we need to be aware of God. Aware of his provision. He says, look around you. Look at creation. See how God provides. Aren't you more precious than those? We need to understand how precious we are to God. We need to understand that God loves us, that his Son came into the world for us, that we might have a relationship with him, that we might know him, that we might know his provision in every way, that we might learn to trust. The book of Proverbs tells us this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Our worry is sometimes because we have not surrendered to God. Because we are struggling in our own strength to fulfill what we feel we need to do. And therefore, we come to that place where we realize, just as that prodigal son came to a place, where he came to a place on his own after he had spent everything, after he'd wasted his money, he remembered that home was a place of safety. He remembered home was a place where he was loved. He had rejected that. It says he came to his senses. Sometimes God allows us to come to that place where we need to come to our senses and realize that God loves us, that he wants the best for us. And we can hand over to him. That's true for the church. For you as a church, as you wonder about the future, what is it that you have, God? You brought us to this place. Now don't worry. Instead of worrying, come to God. Judith Ann said, homework, pray. 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 The Apostle Paul had learned when he says, be anxious for nothing, he's saying, don't worry. Be anxious for nothing, don't worry, he says. But he doesn't leave it there. He doesn't just say, don't worry. Some people may say, well, don't worry, it'll all work out. That's not what he's saying. Don't worry. Instead, hand it over to God. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Now you think those are two of the same things. Prayer is communication with God. The disciples watched Jesus as he prayed. As Jesus went, he came away from the crowds, that came away from his disciples, that spent time alone with his Father. And the disciples saw that. And they wanted to learn to pray. I'm thankful that as a child I was taught to pray. I was taught the importance of prayer. And we can be anywhere. Prayer is just communication with God. God communicates with us and we need to communicate with Him. And sometimes prayer for us, we pour out our hearts to Him. And He will come to us and help us. God knows each one of us. He wants us to have that relationship with Him that we can, instead of worrying, pray. Instead of worrying, pray. And then supplication means we plead, means we ask. Remember, Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Seek and you shall find. And so we need to come to that place. Don't worry, pray. Don't worry, come to God and hand it over to Him. But as you're doing that, we need to have an attitude that is right. Remember what Jesus said? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We are sometimes, and in this society in which we live, we are people who are seeking things for ourselves. We've become a very selfish society. And everybody is looking for something that can satisfy themselves. But we need to be a people, those of us who are followers of Jesus, we need to be a people who learn to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We need to come to that place where we hand over to Him. But we come with an attitude of thanksgiving. As we come and say, okay, I'm not going to worry, I'm going to hand over. But we can come with thanksgiving because there are so many things we can be thankful for. You know, each of us in a different situation, we can stop for a moment and think of the things that we can be thankful for. I'm thankful that I live in Ontario, Canada. I'm thankful that we have clean water to drink. I'm thankful, and you can go on with all the kinds of things that we can be thankful for. We're thankful that we have a new day. God has given us this day. We have so much to be thankful for. So when we don't worry, when we're told not to worry, we need to come to Him and hand over to Him and ask Him to help us. But come with thanksgiving in our hearts. He says, come with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Doesn't He already know? Yes, He does. But you know, one of the most important things for us to do is to pour out our hearts, is to say exactly how we're feeling. Let God know. He knows already. But we have that within us. Sometimes we, as Brits, talk about sit up a bit and we just smile through everything. Well, you know, we can't smile through everything. We sometimes have to express. That's why I love the Psalms, because a psalmist expresses himself. Sometimes he is really down. And then he realizes where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so we need to come and make our requests known to God. In other words, we need to speak it out. I often have to say to people, don't hold it in. What you're feeling at the moment, the hurt that you may be feeling, the anger that you may be feeling, let it out. Don't hold it in because it causes more problems. and the anxiety gets greater. Instead, let it out. Let God know. We don't need to let other people know. We need to let God know. And then what is the result of that? Paul said the result of that is that the peace of God. We will experience a peace. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what he's saying here is that we can experience a peace in amongst the turmoil if we hand over to God. If we come to that place where we know we've struggled on our own, we've got into that place, we've got into a bad place, and now I need to hand over. God, please help me through this. I know you can. I know you will. I'm thankful for where you brought me to. And you've helped me to realize I need to trust you. But I need your help through this. And I want you to give me your peace. And Paul says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Where is our heart? What is that that we love? We need to let God come into our hearts and motivate us and move us. And if we surrender to Him, He gives us His peace and He guards our hearts and our minds. He helps us to love those who are unloved. He helps us to share with those who have nothing. He helps us to do all the things that we need to do. He gives us His love to share. And He guards us, protects us, and our minds. What is it that we allow our minds to be focused on? Do you see the importance? Remember what Jesus said when He said about the commandments. When challenged, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus said this, and it comes here. Paul is really coming to that place. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And so, God, when we surrender to Him, He comes and gives us His peace. There are times when we may go through a stormy sea, but we can rest. When Sandy and I were on a cruise this past winter, we enjoyed it, although on occasion it was a little bit rough. The sea was rough, but you know what? We decided that the best place is not to try and walk around in that situation, but was to rest. And so it was comforting to be able to rest through the storm, just as Jesus did, as the disciples panicked about the situation. Trust. God has it all under control. And so we need to come to this place of stopping to worry. Don't worry anymore. Instead of worrying, when you come to a place of worry or concern, hand it over. And wait for God to come to you and help you through. Paul says this, as he is very real about his faith. Very real about what he has to say. He gives good advice because God had moved him to write. But he says this. He goes on at the next few verses telling us that we must think about the positive things. Think about the things that are positive and praiseworthy. And this is what he said about his own experience. He said, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. So do you see, he's saying, at the end of his letter here, he is saying, you know what? It's a lesson I've had to learn. I'm passing it on to you. I have learned to be content whatever the situation is. Content to know that God is with me. Content to know that He knows my situation. Content to know that I'm His and He is mine. Listen. He says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. So he is sharing the extremes. He has learned through all his life, through all his experiences, since he came to faith in God, since he put his trust in Jesus, that he has learned to be content. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So do you see that? When he's saying, don't worry, he's saying, you know, I've had to learn the lesson myself. And I'm only passing on so that you will learn that lesson. So that you will know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's all things that he wants you to do, not all things that I want to do. You know the battle with children sometimes when they want to do things and we don't want them to do because we see there's danger in it and we say no. Because we want them to be safe. And God sometimes does that to us and say no. So when we come to a place of anxiety, when we come to a place of worry, let's learn to hand it over. Let's learn to surrender our will to His. Jesus is sufficient for all us, all of our needs. I remember a time when there have been times when I've had experiences which maybe you would call a nervous breakdown. Well, whatever you call it. I remember one occasion it was that God really was speaking to me and I was ignoring what he was saying to me. And the only way he got my attention was to get me to a place of major anxiety. A place where I realized that what happened to me on that one occasion that brought me to my senses was that it takes something for me to get mad, but I got mad. And I'd had a screwdriver in my hand and I threw it and it landed in the stairs and I couldn't pull it out. I realized it could have gone into one of my children. Something needs to be done. And I remember the doctor said to me, you know, if you don't want to go to an early grave, you've got to do something. You tried medication didn't work. But what did work was when I surrendered. I said, God, I've been protesting, I've been going against what you're trying to tell me to do. And it was a step of faith that was so great that I didn't know how on earth things were going to work out. But he worked it out. And I'm so thankful that there have been those moments when I've had to surrender and I've had to act in a way that maybe I didn't really want to act. But he brought me to a place where I understood I needed to surrender. And then I experienced a peace. Then I experienced healing. Where I was losing weight, I started to gain weight again. My physical while being improved. I'm so thankful that when we surrender to God and recognize that our worries are our worries, and we need to stop worrying and let God take care of things. When Jesus said we need to be like a little child, if we want to enter the kingdom of heaven, we need to be like a child. What he's saying there is we need to learn to trust that a child never worries about where the next meal is coming from. Parents may, but the child doesn't. Because the child trusts that the parent knows and the parent's going to provide and has confidence. And that's what we need to have, that relationship with God. Know that our Heavenly Father knows and he will provide for us. It's sometimes hard making that decision of surrender because we like to have control ourselves. I want to say that God is speaking to me very much through this. I'm going to leave you with the words that I hear that I have not read, but in the same chapter he says, finally, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the peace of God will be with you. The peace of God. Towards the end of this chapter, he says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Don't worry. Trust. Amen. We sing together the hymn, He Lives.